Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on... Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill radio show. Thank you for tuning in. As always, we consider it such a privilege to be able to come and share truth with you. And today is really a very important day as we mull over what happened in Mississippi with our guest today. We are hoping that our guest, Sandra Cano, will be in with us. And she may be. I'm not able to see our switchboard. We're having a little bit of a difficulty. So, Ms. Sandra, if you're on, if you can just hang on and stay on the line for us, we'll be able to clear this. But in the meantime, I'm also trying to work on it while I'm trying to speak to you. But God is so good that we do live in the land of the free, the home of the brave. And it's where we have a system of government that we can have an election as a way of changing things. We don't have to commit to war. The founding fathers and the wisdom that God gave them has formed this constitution where every so many years, you know, we can elect and change our leaders. We can change even some of these laws. And in Mississippi yesterday, there was an Amendment 26 to try to bring us back to the truth that is really from the biblical view as found in God's Word, which is that, you know, life starts at conception. And we thank God for what the state of Mississippi has done in their fight for truth. We mourn over the fact that, yes, it did not claim the victory that we had so desired. But, you know, the good thing about it is we can try again. It doesn't have to stop at this juncture. There is tomorrow. So we thank God for that opportunity. But right now, you cannot hear our other guests. I've got to try to take care of some things in order to get them on the air with us, and I'm hoping I can do that. But in the meantime, I'm going to share with you some of the things that is going to come on the air shortly. We've got such amazing guests that God has gifted us, and tomorrow we're going to have a friend of Miss Sandra Don Simmons join us. And again, we're going to talk about what happened in Mississippi. We're going to ask God for wisdom on how to look at what happened in Mississippi to help us in the fight that is going on throughout the country. So we're hoping that you will tune in. And one of the fights that's going on in the country is what's called Common Core Standards. And Common Core Standards is really a nationalization of education. The way the founders have said it, you know, really education started in the home. Education really was because of people with a biblical worldview. They wanted their children to be able to read and to be able to compare what is in God's Word. So that's why they set up the school system. But unfortunately, you know, the enemy is a liar, and in our rise in learning and technology, we have, in essence, forgotten where our beginnings was. We have forgotten about the part that faith played in this nation to the point that we have tried to stamp God out of our schools. We have tried to stamp God out of our government. We have tried to stamp God out of our military. And really, it's to our detriment as we are seeing that we are now, we're hurting. Our children are suffering. And but we're hoping that God will have mercy on us. And I'm still working on getting Miss Sandra Cano and Barbara Moore on. And if they can just bear with me, eventually I will get this. I know with God's help, it will happen. I may be slow at it. But anyway, Alabama has a fight in their hands. Tomorrow is a vote at in Montgomery with Alabama's Department of Education. Board members are going to be voting, really, whether or not they want to keep or rescind Common Core Standards, which is national standards. Can you imagine the authority of your local school boards being taken away? That's what's going to happen. But praise God for the help that he has sent us. There is a pastor from Iowa, one of Iowa's finest, that has joined us in the fight. He has sent, I'm almost through here. I think I'm fixing to be able to do this right. He has sent us a letter, which we're trying to get out to all the churches, which is really a call for pastors to be the salt and light. You know, and we hear the scripture about, you know, bind the strong man. Well, our pastors are our strong men. And when they're bound up because of the 501c3 that's really taken away their ability to speak truth for the people, not just in the churches, but all over this country, then, you know, no wonder that we cannot pass the personhood amendment in Mississippi. I had heard someone say that, yeah, their pastor was very, you know, he, not agreeing really to talk about that issue in his Sunday sermon. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, God has been so good that he's given us that privilege to be able to speak on this. And our pastors need to be able to speak on this. I see the board. Praise God. I'm fixing to be able to allow our guests, I believe, to join one at a time. So I'm seeing here Ms. Sandra Cano is now, I believe, going to be on board. And I'm seeing here, yes, we've got everybody on board. Can everybody say hello so I know who they are?
Hi, Diana.
Hi. Hey.
Hi, Sandra.
Hey.
Okay, I know Miss Sandra's on, but I don't, and I recognize Miss Barbara, but I don't recognize the other voice.
I'm sorry, Diana.
I'm sorry, Miss Barbara. I hear Miss Sandra Cano. Okay, can you allow everybody to say hello one at a time. If you would start, Miss Sandra, and then the next person, and Miss Barbara last.
Okay, hi. My name is Sandra Cano.
Okay, maybe the next person is I thought we had a fourth guest online with us, so if you'd like to speak up, you may, but if you want to just listen, we'll be glad for you to just listen and learn with us. But Miss Barbara, if you don't mind, take over the conversation with a prayer. I'm sorry, is that Mr. Wayne? Is that you, Mr. Wayne Wood?
No, it's Kaylin Jones.
Kaylin!
Oh, God bless you, Kaylin. Thank you. Well, Miss Barbara, I'm going to let you take over and start us off in prayer, if you don't mind, and just get this conversation going. Miss Barbara, can you start us off with prayer? Can you hear me?
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to Kaylin. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that we can come before you, and in all things, Father, we can just pour out our hearts to you, Lord, and you hear our prayers, Lord. And you, Father, you desire for us to bring everything to you, Lord. And Father, we confess that we're very disappointed about that vote in Mississippi, Father. But we recognize, Lord, that there's work to be done. There's so much work to be done, Father. Your truth has not been taught and proclaimed and upheld and honored for so many years now, Father. And we have turned our backs on you and upon what is right and true and noble and of good report. And Father, we have gone our own way so much in this country. And Father, there's just a lot of work to be done. I pray, Father, that this defeat of the personhood amendment in Mississippi, Father, will bring about even more effort, Father, from your people to stand for the sanctity of human life, for the sacredness of it, Father, because you created us in your own image and likeness. And every life, Father, has dignity and worth and value from the moment of conception, Lord, to the end of that natural life. And I pray, Father, that efforts will just be redoubled, and that more and more will be in the battle for life, Father, and for truth, for all of your truth, Lord. We pray for that great awakening and that great revival in this land and throughout the world, recognizing, O God, that it is only in you. Our hope, that is our only hope, is in you. And knowing that we must turn back to you and to your ways and begin to think your thoughts again, and to begin to make policy based upon your truth, Father. We thank you, Father, now for our time together. We ask your blessing upon Sandra, upon Kaylin, upon Diana, all our loved ones. And we ask, Father, that you would be honored during this time, and that you would be with us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Barbara. That is so good. And I thank God for all that's on with us. Kaylin Jones, you know, he is a hardworking young man with a father that he's wanting to, with a family, rather, that he's trying to train up the young children in the training and admonition of the Lord. And Ms. Sandra Cano, you are the same way. Kaylin, this is such an awesome woman. You know, we hear about the Roe v. Wade case, the abortion case that is made famous. But we don't hear much about Ms. Sandra's case, which is the Doe v. Bolton, which is the companion case also that really led to the wide open gate that abortion is now. Her case dealt with a second trimester on up. You know, when we hear about partial birth abortion, that was what her case dealt with. And yet, you know, we don't hear this, but God is good. Hi, Miss Andrew, because he's going to, I really believe he is going to use your case to really destroy the lie that has been perpetrated across America to kill the unborn, because your case really had been heard, and from what I understand it, that they listened to your case and it can be reheard again, because if they can get enough facts from the signatures of how many, well, really not just men, women, men, grandparents, have been affected by this ruling, that can be overturned. The abortion issue can be overturned. If you don't mind, Ms. Barbara, get us on that track. Explain that to us a little bit.
Diana, can we turn it over to Ms. Sandra?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Barbara. I said Ms. Barbara. I meant Ms. Sandra.
I knew that's what you meant here.
Yes, thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Sandra. Ms. Sandra, can you hear us? She may not be able to hear us. I can see her on the board. Ms. Sandra, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you. Yeah, okay. If you don't mind, Ms. Sandra, just touch on that and tell us about, you know, this latest revisiting of your case and what that may mean to the abortion issue.
Well, we took it, filed a Rule 60, the Justice Foundation did, and when it went to court, we waited for it to be heard. They did not throw it out of court. However, what they did say, because there was the partial birth abortion case, I think it was South Dakota, that they had already agreed to be heard, and it was about the partial birth, they went ahead and said there was no need for them to hear my case right now. So, however, they did say the case was different cases was when the other case, I think it was Casey and Carlisle, if I'm pronouncing it right, when it went before the Supreme Court, the ruling was they put a ban on partial birth abortion. But the courts left it open. However, they can still continue to take a baby's life up until the date of birth. The only difference was where partial birth, the baby was born all but the head. Now you have to find a way to take the baby's life inside the mother's womb. And so now Alan Parker, they're trying to get a million signatures of how abortion hurts women, sisters, brothers, family, grandmothers, grandfathers, to take it back to court because the justices said they need evidence of how abortion is harming these people.
Well, we thank God for the Justice Foundation. That's Operation Outcry. And Ms. Sandra, for women and really men that have been affected by this abortion issue and grandparents, if they want to be a part of this, to ensure that, you know, that there will be a change in the future, that life will be valued from conception, what do they need to do? They need to go to Operation Outcry, and really it's an anonymous form that they fill out, and they can even just initial it, right, to be part of this movement to get the signatures.
Yes, it's operationoutcry.org. On there you can get the declaration and fill it out, and you send it into the Justice Foundation. And once they have as many signatures as they can get, they're going for a million, then they're going to try to go back to court.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, I know we feel bad about what happened in Mississippi, but, you know, we rise to fight another day. And if anything, though, I think, Kaylin, I think we can learn. We need to always learn from what happened. And just, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He says he has given us power, love, and a sound mind. And I really could tell that fear was starting to play a key part in that vote right at the end, we were hearing, you know, that that was one of the things people were really beginning to be fearful. They were hearing a lot of lies, and that, you know, natural instinct to be fearful was really rising.
Yeah, that's one of the tools the enemy uses to deter people from really pursuing the passion that God put in their heart. The only thing that stops them is fear. Interesting enough is that as I was watching the news and how people saw this as a victory for their party, but they don't understand that it's a defeat, another step towards America's decline, because the church itself buckled under pressure. You know, at some point we have to realize that there may come a time where we can't have church in a building anymore. We may have to have it outside in the field if it comes down to choosing between what God says and what man has for us. You know, we may have to actually say, well, you know what? What I'll do is we'll do this. We'll band together and we'll do it a different way to get away from under the government control of pretty much everything. You know, they talk about separation of church and state, but because of the tax status of a church, they cannot speak out against political matters. But the church is very involved in political matters because eventually a political matter will then affect a family. I just don't believe that women are fully educated when it comes to having sex outside of wedlock. Not only that, but also they're not fully educated on the effects an abortion has on them after the process is done. I've heard first accounts from women who I know in my life who've had abortions, and the nightmare, the spiritual effect on them, the guilt, the near suicidal experiences, them dreaming about the child that died in the womb, that was killed in the womb, and then, you know, they don't even know how graphic the actual procedure is. So, And that on top of that, Ms. Diana, the Common Core Standards is just another.
Kaylin, did we lose you? Ms. Barbara? I think we lost Kaylin. Ms. Barbara, can you talk about, you know, Kaylin was talking about that spirit of fear and really how we need the pastors to do what God has called them to do, which is to be salt and light. And you know, when you talk about history, Ms. Barbara and Ms. Sandra, you've heard this before. You know, what made America's conscience really open up to God's truth were its pastors.
Yes, absolutely. And God raised up some good ones to lead the way back to Him and His righteousness. You know, Diana, when we're talking about the Mississippi Personhood Amendment that failed yesterday by the people's vote, it reminded me of years ago, William Wilberforce of England worked long and hard to stop the slave trade of England, and he was advised by John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, and others, that he could best serve God by serving in Parliament, and rather than in the gospel ministry, they believed that he could better serve God standing for righteousness in policies and laws and so forth there in England. And so for 40 years, 40 long years, he labored to get the slave trade stopped in England. And praise God, before he died, he was able to see the result of that, that it was stopped, but it took a long time. But they didn't give up because it was right. It was right to stop it. And so, you know, it is taking a long time. Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton.
Wow, Ms. Barbara, when you think about, yeah, when you think about 40 years, wow, it's about time. it's about time. And I think about what also, you know, the man that loves the Lord, just as the one that you spoke of, in our own John Quincy Adams, which you'll have to share with us that later because Kalen is back on, and I'm going to let him speak some more. Go ahead, Kalen. Kalen, can you hear us?
I'm sorry about that. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry about that. I think my call just dropped.
Oh, that's all right.
But, but yeah, I was just talking about how, you know, this is just another step forward in the wrong direction for the country when it comes to this. Now, I'm not saying this is just a end-all defeat, but it shows that at least we know now that people are afraid of what the consequences will be if, you know, we decide as a country not to go ahead and to make abortions illegal. There's so many different avenues women can go down besides abortion. You have the option to leave your child at the hospital in some state, and they'll automatically be able to be adopted by a family. I'm pretty sure you could go to a local church and let the local church know what's going on, and I'm pretty sure somebody, if they'll lead you in the right direction. I think that it needs to be handled on the local level, and the government wants their hands in everything. They want their hands and their say-so in everything, but that's not what this country was founded on. It was founded on individual freedom of the people to make their own choices and decisions. And the government
indeed
needs to take that away. So, I mean, it's just it's sad.
Let me, go ahead, Ms. Sandra. I just think of what Ms. Barbara was saying. You know, this man worked for 40 years. And I just encourage the listeners, please go to our website, www.cityonhill.tv, and just do a search of our many really articles on our interviews with Ms. Sandra Cano. And if you'll go to our podcast, we've been interviewing you for years, Ms. Sandra. It's such a privilege. We just love what, you know, your heart that has a longing to correct a wrong here, not just to you, but for the whole country and these children. But you've been laboring over this for a long time yourself, Ms. Sandra. How long? About the same time. You have been working since, I guess, how long did you finally realize that you needed to search the truth? You know, when they really, you did not even know that your name was being used for an abortion issue. You did not know that's why you went to court. How many years after 73 did you start searching? Sandra, can you hear me? Now we can hear you, Ms. Sandra. Yeah, now we can hear you.
Okay. This phone is going a little scratchy here. No, I started out in 74. I didn't know any details. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know the severity of what had happened here. All I knew that my name was linked to abortion. And from that stage, I just decided, no, this can't happen. And so I went out and searched and tried to get to the answers to see what I was involved in and so forth. And it took me quite a long time. And then once that started happening, and the more I researched and I got into what was happened here, the more angry I got because this was totally against everything I believe.
Ms. Sandra, you know, the enemy, again, has used the same ploy of a lie. You never thought this was an abortion case. You thought you were going to court your children.
This started out when I was had some personal problems and things, and they're no fault of my own on my children. They were put in foster care. And so that was my goal. My children were my life, regardless of circumstances, the unstableness of my life. My children were always first priority. But when people come against you, sometimes you have a losing battle. But I fought, and I reached out to anyone and anywhere that would help me, and I thought that would be helping me get my children. Well, little did I know that going to the Atlanta Legal Aid to get a divorce from my husband, it was a bad marriage, he was a bad character, and, you know, I was so young. He was the first and only boy I'd ever kissed. I married him. I had four children out of that reunion. And I just knew it was time that I need to get a divorce. So when I went to the legal aid and I told them, I need to get a divorce, and I've got my two children in foster care. And they agreed, the attorney agreed, that, yes, they would help me. Little did I know the agenda that was behind it. I was so appreciative and thought, thank you, God, these people are willing to help me, because with no money and circumstances were like they were, I was thankful that they was reaching out to help me. But little did I know the agenda they had. It wasn't because they cared about me or my baby or my children or my situation. They had an agenda because they thought I was naive enough, which they were right. They could manipulate me and use, and they done a really good job of it. But they never thought, I don't think they planned on, I would stand up and get to the details. I just didn't wash it off and let it go away. You cannot take a baby's life. That's wrong. And they have as much right to live as you and I or anyone else. And I am not going to be labeled on a death warrant for the unborn, and especially the severity of the case that involved my name. And so the more I got into it and everything, I was really shocked. I was used and abused by the government. It's unbelievable. And
Ms.
our
Sandra,
Supreme Court.
If you don't mind, tell us who the lawyer that was helping you was really working for.
Okay, the lawyer that agreed to help get my children out of foster care, I was told by the legal aid attorney, I don't know if I can use her name. Well, you know, she can sue me. It's okay. It was the truth. It was Tobin Swartz, and she agreed to get my divorce. Then 2 weeks later, she called me and asked, could I come into her office? She had another attorney that was going to work with her to help me get my children out of foster care. This lady's name was Margie Pitts-Haines. All these years, I assumed Margie worked for legal aid. I didn't know any different. But years down the line, I found out Margie worked with the ACLU. The Atlanta Legal Aid, using taxpayers' dollars, involved this attorney from ACLU to involve them in this case to bring an action against women for an abortion to take the lives of their babies. Without the knowledge, without truth, it's lies, fraud, and deceit. It's unbelievable. And then our Supreme Court says it's irrelevant if I'm real or I'm not real. They didn't care either. So it's very frustrating. But the battle, I'm in it for the long run to the end. I will never give up till it stopped.
Well, we're grateful for that. And Ms. Sandra is going to have a documentary, Kaylin, Ms. Barbara, listeners. It's going to come out. Is it December, Ms. Barbara? And I think Huckabee is going to be hosting, or I guess is the host of that documentary, whatever. And do I have that right? Is it going to come out in December or later next year?
Well, they said it's going to be around December. It's definitely going to be out by the first of the year, and it's being produced by Citizens United, and it's hosted by Mike Huckabee, and I've got a little preview of it, about it, and they've really done a good job on me getting the words out, to getting the truth out about Doe, because there are so many people still do not know there is a Doe v. Bolton. They do not know the extent that this horrible case does, which abortion is horrible the beginning to the end. But they just don't know the whole total truth about abortion. And there's two
Ms. Sandra, I'm sorry, Ms. Sandra. Most people don't realize that Roe v. Wade was presented, and then within, an hour or so later, your case was heard, right?
They had took and argued Roe v. Wade. 1 hour later, Doe v. Bolton was argued. And
most
people
don't know
this
that.
This is the companion case. No, and this is the companion case where Roe legalized abortions up to the first 3 months. Doe come along and said, okay, let's take this father. You can have a headache. You can have a hangnail, et cetera, et cetera. If a doctor will say this is related to your pregnancy, and you can take your baby's life up until the date it can be delivered.
Ms. Sandra, let me go ahead and just remind the listeners, too, because of that vote, and a lot of people I know have got to be heartbroken. I know my heart sank when I heard it, too. But, you know, we've known you for years now, and we know you do not have the best of health. But you just keep on fighting. And I think that's the way we have to be with the issues that are dear to us, especially those issues dear to God, life and our children. You know, I think of the scripture, Ms. Barbara, that you've written an article about. It's better to, I can't quote it, but you know what I'm talking about, Ms. Barbara?
About the stumbling block?
Yes. And what that means to you, Ms. Barbara, you know, in light of what is going to happen with Common Core.
Well, yeah. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. And at one point stated that it would be better to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea rather than be that obstacle that keeps children from coming to Jesus. And we see that with Common Core standards, that is a tremendous obstacle in so many different ways that keep children from coming to Jesus and knowing the truth of Jesus and so forth.
Ms. Barbara, I just saw an email that was sent, which Kevin, you may have seen it, where the Concerned Women of America sent an email out about Common Core standards and the vote that's coming up tomorrow in our State Board of Education to get us out, if you know possible. They in there quoted Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I can't quote exactly the words, word for word, but it was something to the effect, for you to know, for you to say nothing in the face of evil is evil also. And I can't quote that directly, but that really hits home in this issue because there's a lot of teachers that's getting wind of this now. There's a lot of parents that's getting wind of this now. There's a lot of people in Congress that's getting wind of this now. And to me, for them not to share the truth, because this is evil as you killing an unborn. Because, no, you're not physically killing that child, but you have always thought that sex abuse is like murder because it takes a miracle from God to change and bring that person back to wholeness, back to life. And when we implement in our own public education the means to molest the minds of the children, Ms. Barbara, I think we as a nation is party to a crime scene when we allow this to happen. What do you think about that? Go ahead and follow first, then Caleb.
Yeah, think about the culture of corruption that is breeded by the Common Core standards and what they're pushing with the homosexual agenda. And think about the culture of corruption in Sodom and Gomorrah so many years ago. It was children were immersed in that corrupt culture. And what we're doing is immersing children in a corrupt culture in our public schools that forbid the acknowledgement of God, that forbid the name of Jesus to be spoken. That is a culture of corruption in so many ways. And children that are brought up like that, well, we can look at Sodom and Gomorrah and see what it does to all people, including children.
Yes, and Caitlin, if you don't mind, give us your perspective on that. I know it's a young parent. It's heartbreaking. Caitlin, did we lose you? I'm sorry. We may have lost Caitlin, and I'll try to get him back on, Ms. Barbara. But, Ms. Sandra, I just think, you know, if you had given up, you know, Ms. Sandra, you are unique. Because most people are so busy trying to take care of their own lives that they can't be bothered to do too much. And what you tried to do involved a lot of hard work, a lot of hard steps. But it reminds me, Ms. Barbara, that, you know, the same thing with the story of John Quincy Adams. If you don't mind sharing us about how we, every time there's a new legislature, what he did.
Well, you know, John Quincy Adams was raised by his father and mother, John and Abigail Adams, and he was raised up in the scriptures, and he had a very strong ethic of right and wrong, and he worked his entire life as Wilberforce did. What Wilberforce did in England, John Quincy Adams did in the United States of America. After John Quincy Adams served as one term as president of the United States, being our sixth president, he went back into the House of Representatives representing Massachusetts. And he labored long and hard over the years to bring about laws against the slave trade, which was done in 1808. But then there were others. They had a gag rule that was forbidding the issue of slavery to be addressed, and so he worked long and hard to get that changed, and so he was a man who stood for what was right in the face of ridicule, in the face of opposition and persecution and, you know, other obstacles. But he stood, and he stood strong.
Oh, he did, and what, you know, how amazing is that for us? And he was raised by parents that loved the Lord, and that made a warrior out of him. And how much more better the world is because of the stand of John Quincy Adams. He never gave up. And that is something I just want to thank God for, Ms. Sandra, Ms. Barbara, because of the fact that she never gave up. You know, even though we heard about the loss yesterday in Mississippi, we know all is not lost. And how amazing it is of God to have woven it in such a way that there's this one case, this one unknown story, that when the truth finally comes out, it is going to be the strongest case that is going to make a difference.
It is. And Diana, that is so exciting about the documentary that is going to be told, where this is going to be told, and the fact that Mike Huckabee is a part of it, is going to give it such coverage. Oh, my goodness. That is just so exciting to me that that this is taking place.
Well, God is good. Isn't that amazing, Miss Sandra, how, you know, you persevered, and you didn't know what the future held. And I'm just so encouraged, and I pray that it would encourage the listeners. And I'm encouraged by the stand that one pastor that we know of, Miss Barbara, Pastor Kerry Gordon from Iowa, has made in regard to this core curriculum. We know what it is. We know what it is. He knows what it is. And he's wanting pastors to please share the truth with your flock. You know, shepherd the sheep. There's so many lost sheep. And they, you know, but they will listen to their pastor. So I heard a story where one pastor was so afraid, kind of noncommittal about mentioning it, you know, this past Sunday in Mississippi about the pro-life, you know, issue. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, please awaken our strong men, our pastors, to have such a compassion for the children that is going to be enslaved into sin through our public education, that we as parents can vote. We can call our governor, 242-7100 in Alabama, 334-242-7100. Call the governor's office. Call the state boards for your district. Find out what district you're in and find out who it is you need to be calling, because there's only two members, right, Ms. Barbara, that we know for sure is going to rescind it.
That's right, and that's Betty Peters and Stephanie Bell. You know, Diana, whether we're talking about the evil of abortion, the evil of Common Core standards, or the evil of the slave trade, I want to share one comment from John Quincy Adams from his diary. And this was when he was 73 years old. And he said this. He said, "The world, the flesh, and all the devils in hell are arrayed against any man who now on this North American Union shall dare to join the standard of Almighty God to put down the African slave trade. And what can I, upon the verge of my 74th birthday, with a shaking hand, a darkening eye, a drowsy brain, and with all my faculties dropping from me one by one as the teeth are dropping from my head, what can I do for the cause of God and man, for the progress of human emancipation, for the suppression of the African slave trade? Yet my conscience presses me on. Let me but die upon the breach." John Quincy Adams, God love him.
Wow. Well, Miss Sandra, I hope that you will just keep on keeping on. You are an encouragement, I think, for the pro-life movement, because I think this story today, Miss Barbara, I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm not too depressed about yesterday anymore. If anything, I think, you know, it really is a national problem. It's not just a Mississippi problem. As we see Planned Parenthood, they weren't just using Mississippians to be calling. It was the national Planned Parenthood, you know, members making their phone calls. So I think we've got to address it nationally. And I think that maybe it's what I'm really reminded of with the story of Miss Sandra.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do have to address it nationally. It is a national crime, and that must be changed. But we need to address it any way we can. And I think that this documentary, you know, to put a face on this and to get the information out, I think this documentary is going to make a big difference in the lives of Americans.
Mm.
And, you know, just as Harriet Beecher Stowe's story of Uncle Tom's Cabin made such a difference in the lives of Americans so many years ago, I think this will also.
Well, Miss Sandra, you know, in closing, we'd like to always, you know, like to end us in prayer, and I will ask if you don't mind to close us in prayer, because I know your heart is really so taken up for the cause of the children, whether it be in the womb and growing, you're dealing with at home. But I would also, you know, like to ask you to just really give a voice of encouragement for those that are in the fight. And I think, you know, to myself, Miss Sandra, you've not let the spirit of fear overtake you.
No, it never will. The fear of God would overtake me quicker than it would a man.
And I love that.
And I know he loves me, and he's living proof of it through me. He's gave me many chances to still be here. And we've just all got to take, and regardless of the battles and the steps that we take, we're fighting those battles and we're taking those steps, and we would not be able to do it if it wasn't for God.
And you sought the truth, and I think that is, God is truth, and you know, he is, what is it that the Bible says, true worshipers, he searches for true worshipers, for those that really, what, seek to worship him in spirit and in truth, something to that effect, Ms. Barbara?
That's right, that's right.
And
you
so I think we cannot separate the two. And maybe a lot of people have been worshiping, but leaving out that other part of it, which is the truth. And I think there's a lot of good people in churches that's been doing that, but we invite them to come and worship with truth also, with truth, in truth, and let that make all the difference, as Ms. Sandra has done. You know, her little case is going to, I believe, come up. But we need your help. It's just like, you know, she can't do it alone. So everywhere you know of that someone has not heard this issue of where they can turn in signatures, whether they be the father of that child, a grandparent even, they can turn in this affidavit, and it does not have to even be signed completely. It can just be their initials, and they can do it in their home. They can do it on the Internet, right, Ms. Sandra?
Exactly, yes, uh-huh. Just go to operationoutcry.org, and you can download the declaration, and you fill it out, and it's simple. And you just send it to the Justice Foundation. The address is there on the site when you come to that link.
And Ms. Sandra, you have encouraged me, and I know you've encouraged Ms. Barbara, because I know we have a fight here in Alabama, Ms. Barbara. We know that.
Yeah.
We've been dealing
That's
with
right.
this for a while. I think we were one of the first ones to start doing interviews on the subject of Common Core here in our state, and probably the country. If it
yeah,
is, you
I
know,
think
unfortunately.
So.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we are going to persevere, and no matter what happens, we have to keep on persevering because the fear of the Lord or the awe of the Lord is within us. And it is a calling from him, I believe, for us to continue to really shine the light. And we're going to do that because even should God allow that it pass in Alabama, which would be just a fine, fine miracle for us, the rest
yeah.
of the states, we have to keep up the fight because there's other states that's under this bondage, and we have got to do it all across the nation. We have got to get rid of this onslaught attack against the minds of our precious children. And, you know, it's just like with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Ms. Barbara, Ms. Sandra, they don't stop with getting their way and repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They want the transgenders to have their rights. So can you imagine what they're doing here? They're just going to start it. We've heard a quote from Kevin Jennings to say that. This is just the
Diana,
start. Yes, go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
You know, there has been a lot in the news about the assistant coach at Penn State who has been charged with sexual abuse of boys. And there's been a great outcry, as there should be. And he's being called a monster, as he should be. And Joe Paterno, who's a highly respected coach and man, it's just about destroying his reputation because apparently he was aware of it. He reported it, but he didn't take it to the police. And, you know, all of this is going on, and this man should be prosecuted. He should never see the light of day after what he's done, if he's indeed done this, okay? But what is interesting to me is that you hear liberals, the same people that are all for the homosexual agenda, the same people that are for NAMBLA, the Man Love Boy Love Association, even the Psychologists Association has come out supporting that perversion and even more perversions. And yet these people are I just think it's very, very interesting. This is what they're pushing for, and yet still, you know, they have to condemn this, but this is really what they're pushing for. They do not stop, as you said. They do not stop. They keep pushing.
Indeed. Wow. And I think maybe this happening at this time, you know, is good, because we are looking at a perverted mind. And, you know, the society, the culture that we have has allowed such perversion to be made to look good, because it's in the military. I mean, there's now a law subscribing to this lifestyle to be seen as good. Let's even let them get married in a church. So I'm praying, Miss Barbara, that maybe that all this, the cream of, well, the filth really is coming to the top, that maybe those who truly call themselves as followers of Jesus Christ will say, you know, enough is enough. I must follow the Lord. I must make a stand. And I pray it begins in us, and I pray that the pastors, again, just like the days of Alexander de Tocqueville, right, Miss Barbara?
Yes,
let
when
goodness
the
and
prophets
truth.
Were aflame with righteousness.
Oh, wow. That's what we need again. Oh, that's what we need again. Well, Ms. Sandra, if you don't mind, we are so honored and just blessed and privileged, and we just love you as a friend anyway. We've come to know you, and we consider you a good friend. I hope you don't mind that. But would you mind?
No, I'm honored.
We are so thankful. But we would like to ask you, if you don't mind, praying for what's in your heart for this nation, really the world. And I'll just turn it to you.
Okay. Father, you know our hearts today, and you know the trouble, and you know the sorrow, and you know the problems that's going on. But Father, our children, they're innocent, and they have to be protected. And number one, they're having to be protected to have the right to life, because we're allowing their little lives to be taken. And then once the ones that are born, they're going to schools, and it's a lot of corruptions in these classrooms. We don't know if it's even safe for children to be there. It's corrupted. Father, we need you to come down here and just guide us and show us and protect us, because we know what's right and we know what's wrong, and we're trying, but you need to give us the steps if we're not going in those right steps. And, Father God, we pray for an end to abortion. The personhood amendment in Mississippi, it didn't pass, but we're not giving up. We know that you're in control, and we know that for whatever reason, we will see an end to abortion. And that may have knocked us down on our knees, but we know we can get right back up and keep going forward. Father, and please don't let us give up hope. Let us all know that there's hope forever. As long as we take a breath, there's hope for whatever battle that we're walking and we're fighting. And there's always hope through you, Jesus. And we're asking you, Father, to lead us, and don't let us forget it. Give us the wisdom and just keep us going forward, and touch every heart, Father, and ears, and let them hear the truth. And we need to protect our children, the born and the unborn. And Father, we need you to help us And we ask that you bless us. And Father, the leader of our country that we've got coming up for voting, we're asking that you help us get a God-fearing man in there, one that cares about life, that cares about people, and that our interest is in his heart, not just something to get up there and do his own agenda. Father, help the right person get into office to be the leader of our country. And Father, we ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Sandra. Thank you, Miss Barbara. Thanks that Kellen was able to join us even for a little while. He had some technical difficulties. So have we at the very beginning. But we thank God for this opportunity. And Miss Sandra, I'm going to go ahead and send you a link to the letter from the pastor. For those that want to find it, go to our website, www.cityonhill.tv. Look on the left side where it's got the listing of the titles of our blog posts, and you will see letter to an Alabama pastor. So if you don't mind, click on that and email it, make a copy, whatever you want to. Listeners and Miss Sandra, if you don't mind, that maybe some of those that live on the, you know, side of Alabama that you're closest to, I know you've got a lot of people on your Facebook page, maybe some of them will help and make those phone calls, because we really need to be letting the State Board of Alabama know how we feel and the governor know how we feel. So we thank you, Miss Sandra. I'm just going to turn it to Miss Barbara, and we thank you, Miss Sandra, and hope you can come and join us again in the future. We don't want to ask too often because we know how it is in your case, but we're looking to the December documentary, and I'm going to let Miss Barbara just close us out. Thank you, Miss Barbara, Miss Sandra.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, what a wonderful radio show we've had today, and it's been such a pleasure and such a privilege to have Sandra Cano with us. Her story is so compelling that it must be told, it must be heard, and it will be in a documentary coming out within a few months. Everyone be looking for it. And listeners, we do thank you so much for joining us today. Share this podcast and other podcasts with your family and friends wherever they are throughout the world at cityonahill.tv. Join us again tomorrow at the same time, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Bye-bye.